series that we call Avalanche. And we call it that because there are certain things in our lives that distract us, distract our focus from Jesus. And we don't want them to, but they can be overwhelming, just like a mountain of snow coming down upon us. And we lose that touch, that distinction of being close to God. And we've talked about things like worry and selfishness, grief. But today we talk about doubt. And doubt, I preach on this subject many times in many churches. And from time to time I'll ask the staff, all right, let's find someone who has struggled with some doubts and they've overcome them. And it's very difficult to find individuals who will stand and reveal that and share that. And I think I know why. Because we associate doubts with questions we ask. God, why is this happening to me? God, why did my friend get cancer? God, why didn't you heal my loved one? And they died. God, why did I lose my job? And we ask all these questions. And then we feel that asking questions of God is sin. Or we're afraid of telling someone else about our questions because they may look down on us and chastise us for a lack of faith. Or treat us like children throwing a tantrum because we didn't like what we heard from our parent, instead of just Christians seeking understanding. If you have ever doubted God's actions or God's love or God's presence or protection, you're in pretty good company. Because chances are we all have in this room at some time or another, usually during very difficult circumstances. So how do we deal with our doubts? Well, we'll see what God has to say about that right now. Let's pray. Father, thank you for hearing us, our prayers, our pleading sometimes, our begging. And thank you for sharing your truth with us in your word. Truth that we hold to. Truth that sustains us. Help us overcome. In Christ's name. Amen. There are three ways to approach God. There is belief and unbelief, which are choices, mental choices. Then there is doubt. Doubt is an honest expression of emotion. Doubting God is an emotional reaction to things like exhaustion and frustration and grief and discouragement and circumstances which are beyond our control. It's possible to doubt even when you want to believe. God even makes a clear distinction between an unbeliever and a person who has occasional doubts during difficult times. The Bible rebukes the unbeliever. Psalm 14, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. Yet Jesus was patient with his disciples' doubts. In fact, many who saw Jesus face to face, who witnessed his miracles, who heard him teach, still had serious doubts when things got tough. And if those closest to Jesus struggled with their doubts, it should not surprise us when we do. In fact, the Bible tells us, be merciful to those who doubt. Since the Christian life is dependent upon faith in what is unseen, many of us, we're going to struggle and need that mercy. And it's comforting to know that God works with doubters. Like Gideon. Gideon's in the Old Testament. He was a judge. And you recall the cycle that takes place. That God blesses his people, then they disobey and they turn their backs on God, and then he allows an army to come in, a nation, and they're conquered, and then they're struggling with that, and they cry out to God for help and repent, and God brings them freedom again, and then the cycle starts all over. And he sent prophets. He sent judges, not people in black robes, but people who would discern the will of God and share it with the people, and later kings. Gideon was going to be one of those judges. What happened is Israel disobeyed. So God allowed one of those false, pagan, evil-ite nations. You know, the Canaanites and the Jebusites and the Amalekites and the Termites. And in this case, he sends the Midianites. And he calls Gideon. He says, we're going to do this together. Now, what happens is Israel then runs off. They run off into what the Bible calls desolate places. They hide in desolate places. And you know what a desolate place is. It's like a mountain, a cave, a desert. Washington, D.C. counts as a desolate place. All of these places. So they're hiding. Gideon's hiding. He's hiding in a wine press, which if you think wine cellar, it gives you a better idea. He's gone underground. He is hiding out. He does not want to be captured or killed by the Midianites. And that's when God shows up. It's called an angel of the Lord, but it's later identified as the Lord himself. And the Lord shows up and calls Gideon mighty warrior, which is ironic because Gideon is scared senseless. He's not exactly army general material. And the Lord says, tell you what, you're going to lead my people, and you're going to lead them to victory against the Midianites. And Gideon started a string of doubts that he could ever do this. And truth is, in Gideon's sandals, we might feel the same way. You know, our society grants leadership to people who are the smartest, the most charismatic, the wealthy, the most attractive. And we tend to think God does the same. Well, that's who God wants. He wants the people who look better than me and act better than me and dress better than me and smell better than me. And God's going to call them, and that's just fine with me. Because a lot of us, we just don't want to lead. Because people up front who are leading get shot first. They're the ones who go down. I don't want there. Upon discovering that my father-in-law served in the army, my kids ran and asked him, Papa, how did you survive? And he says, I've got two secrets. Never volunteer and stay in the middle. Do that. That's how you survive. And that's how many of you survive church. Let's be honest. You're like, never make eye contact with David or the other ministers. They'll ask us to do something. Keep your head down. Stay in the middle of the crowd. Never raise your hand. And that's what you all do. It is. Raise your hand if you do that. See, you didn't raise your hand. You don't want to volunteer. You're afraid I was going to ask you to do something. If that doesn't work, staying in the middle, we offer excuses, just like Gideon. Verse 15 of the sixth chapter of Judges. Pardon me, my Lord, Gideon replied, but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest, and I am the least in my family. God, my family is the dullest, weakest bunch of people in all of Israel, and I'm the worst. Nobody's ever going to follow me. But if God calls you, he believes in you. If God wants you to do something, whatever it is, he's going to get your attention. Moses saw a burning bush. Jonah was fish food. Paul lost his sight. If God calls you, he believes in you. And let me warn you, he will be patient with our doubts, but he expects obedience. And we've said it over and over again, obedience is God's love language. You want to show God you love him? You obey. Gideon's going to have to obey. He isn't there yet, though. If now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that is really you talking to me. You ever do that? Despite the fact we have his written word, we have his indwelling Holy Spirit, we still second guess God. Well, how do I know this is God's will? How do I know this is what he's calling me to? How do I know this is what's best for me? Maybe God is wrong. Gideon asked God for a sign. And so he prepared an offering for the Lord, and he was told to place it on a rock. Then the angel of the Lord touched the meat and the unleavened bread with the tip of the staff that was in his hand. Fire flared from the rock, consuming the meat and the bread, and the angel of the Lord disappeared. Now, Gideon is scared today. He's terrified because he doubted the Lord, and he's afraid he's going to die too. So the Lord speaks, presumably out of thin air, because he disappeared. Peace, do not be afraid. You are not going to die. For those of you who admire Bible heroes for their incredible faith and lack of doubt, you're badly mistaken. Our Bible heroes are just like us. Gideon gets a visit from an angel. He sees a miracle. He hears the Lord's voice, but he's still unsure. He still doubts. But he's just like us. Don't feel guilty when you have doubts. Doubts come from human emotions in difficult times. Don't think of yourself as a bad Christian, that you've renounced God, that you've walked away. Doubts are based on emotions. Our Bible heroes dealt with the same thing. I deal with the same thing. All your ministers deal with the same things. We're not bad people because we want to understand. And sometimes there is no understanding. And that's frustrating. Gideon dealt with this. His faith is shaken. He doesn't want to lead. Well, he's got all those doubts too. What if I lead them in the wrong direction? What if they find out I'm not that smart? What if I make mistakes? I'm from the least clan, and I am the least person in my clan. What if I can't measure up? In high school, I hated to be in front of people. Just absolutely hated it. And again, it's, well, what if I mess up? What if I can't do it? I didn't want to lead. I didn't want to follow my father in ministry. I hated public speaking. And over the years, God changed me and gave me confidence. And now I love to speak. I love to be here and talking and sharing. And people, we have friends from Florida here, and they know I'm a big ham. I've always been a big ham. I love being up here on stage. I love to talk about Jesus. I love to talk about the Word. I love to share with you of what God expects of us. I mean, I get passionate about that. I get excited about that. That's why I like to be here sharing with you. And I like it when we laugh together, when we cry together, when we learn together. I love that. And on occasions, many occasions, in fact, people have approached my wife, Kim, and have said, "Boy, it must be exciting living with David. Really, is he as funny at home as he is everywhere else?" And she will say, "No, there isn't a crowd or a stage at home. He's very boring at home." But I love to share, and I understand how God used me through my doubts and brought me to the point where I answered my call to be one of his. But because of the criticism, because of the stress, Gideon has doubts, and it prompted him to ask for another miracle. He took sheep's fleece, and he laid it out on the ground. And he said, "God, if it's really you, if you really want me to do this, then what I would like for you to do is when the dew falls tonight and I come out in the morning, that the fleece will be completely wet, just drenched, but all the ground around it will be dry." Now, if you've been in the church long enough, you've heard people refer to or use the phrase throw the fleece or throw out the fleece or use the fleece, put it out there. It comes from this reference, this story. And I'm going to tell you, though, you've got to be very, very careful with this when it comes to your relationship with God, because this can be manipulated and this could be abused because of our selfishness and because sometimes we doubt God emotionally. I mean, I read of a woman who was trying to decide whether to go on a 2-week vacation to Hawaii or give her tax refund to the church. And she had intended to do that until she found out how big it was. And so she's struggling and she's praying and she wakes up one morning and the clock read 7:47 and she took that as a sign from God to get on a 7:47 and fly to Hawaii. And that was her fleece. You see, we can manipulate things. God, Gideon's act here was not an expression of faith. It was a doubting of God's promises and power. And he knew he was overstepping his bounds because he pleads with God, "Do not be angry with me." But if you really feel like you want to throw out the fleece, keep in mind, okay? Gideon wasn't asking for a coincidence. He wasn't asking for a little sign. God, just make it wet and everything around it dry. I mean, that could happen. It's like you saying, "Hey, God, if I sell my car by the end of the week, I'll know I'm supposed to take that job in Ohio." All right, well, if you didn't offer that prayer, you might still sell that car by the end of the week. Gideon was asking for a miracle. So if we're going to throw out the fleece, maybe we should be asking for a miracle. Like, "Hey, God, if my car sprouts wings and flies, then I'll know you want me to go to Ohio and take that job." Just understand, you can tell I'm not a big advocate of throwing out the fleece. But God indulges Gideon. The next morning, the fleece was soaked, and the ground around it was bone dry. But Gideon still has doubts. So he reverses the request, just to be sure. "Hey, God, now tonight, what I want to do when I come out, let the dew fall on the ground, but the fleece remain dry." And you know God's up there going, "What in the world is going on here? Why can't he just take, go? You know, put an army together, go." But he's patient with us, with our doubts. And he says, "Okay, I'll meet your second request." And Gideon is fine for a while. And then he has doubts again. He gathered 32,000 men to fight the Midianites. But God thought that was too many. Because if they might think they won the victory on their own strength because they were just a great army. So God says, "We're going to narrow this down." And through a couple of actions, it turns into 300 men. Gideon's got 300 men to face an entire army. He wouldn't listen to God. He still had doubts. Ministers and churches do the same thing. We find ourselves doubting God today. Well, how can preaching save the next generation? Nobody uses lecture anymore. We've got to use different methods. How can we expect to reach teens and young adults if we tell them the things they can't do? Let's tell them what they can do. Let's share and make them feel good. We've got to entertain people. We've got to use gimmicks. We've got to relax our standards so that people, adults, will listen to us and they'll want to come to our church. How can we expect our children to have self-esteem if we don't indulge them so they don't have a little entitlement? That'll be good for them. How can we expect people to give generously or even 10% of their income to the Lord? We can't talk about money. That will chase them off. And there are many believers and many churches who doubt, and it leads them to compromise and avoiding these serious, difficult parts of the Bible. But again, God was patient with Gideon. He showed him Israel would be victorious in a miraculous way. See, doubters like us can still be used by God. And if you doubt from time to time, as we all do, I've got some good news. God promises to help us overcome our doubts. In Mark 9, a distressed father approached Jesus, brought his son, who was demonically induced. He was mute. He was prone to seizures. And he brought him to Jesus for healing. And Jesus said, "You know, everything is possible for one who believes." And this desperate father begged, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. Help me overcome my doubts." And Jesus healed the son. If you sincerely believe and seek God and his guidance, if you're even if you're afraid of by these doubts that you have, even if you're not sure because you've got these doubts or these questions, God's going to give you evidence of his faithfulness. 4 times he gave Gideon signs that he was with him. God is patient with us. He understands our questions. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Now, we don't accept these things by blind faith. God gives us evidences to help us overcome. Suppose I was getting in a small plane. And I, as I'm getting on, I look in the cockpit and the pilot up there, and his shirt's all unbuttoned down to his navel and his shoes are off and he's flipping switches like, okay, what does that do? What is that? Whoa, I didn't know they did that. I mean, I'm going to ask. Hey, excuse me, do you have your pilot's license? And if he turns to me and says, hey, trust me. Okay, if I stay on that plane, which I wouldn't, but if I stay on that plane, I'm flying by blind faith. But what if I look in and say, hey, do you have your pilot's license? He says, oh, yeah, here's a copy right here. And aren't you David Welsh? Aren't you a Franklin Christian? I know 3 guys there who are pilots, just like me. And they fly, you know, FedEx and UPS and the governor around. Yeah, I know them. You know, I trained with all 3 of them. And I've been a co-pilot with them. And if I go ask those 3 people, if I give them a quick call and say, hey, what about this guy? And they say, oh, he's an excellent pilot. A little quirky, but he's an excellent pilot. You're safe. You're going to be fine. Then I would get on that plane. But I would do so because of what evidence of what I had seen, his pilot's license, and what I heard from reliable sources. So I'm not flying by blind faith anymore. The apostles, what we read their words, these are solid evidences. They wrote, for we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. When you doubt God's ways, you may not get answers, but I'm telling you, when you doubt God's ways, check his resume. Check God's resume. Pay a visit to his home address, 1 billion Starry Sky Avenue. Look at creation. Witness the dramatic changes in lives because of Jesus. See that the Bible is the most documented, the most manuscripted book in history. And remember what you read from this word. What controls you does not control God. And what troubles you does not trouble God. And what fatigues you does not fatigue God. I mean, is an angel, is an eagle perturbed by traffic on the ground? No, it just soars over it. Is a whale upset because there's a hurricane on the surface? No, he plunges beneath it. Is a lion distressed because he comes across a mouse in his path? Absolutely not. He steps over it. We worship a God who can soar over, plunge under, or step over any troubles on earth, and he empowers us to do the same. We can overcome our doubts. They are based on emotions. Keep your trust in God. And when those doubts come, offer the same prayer that that depressed father offered that day when he begged Jesus. I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief, my doubts. Cole and the praise team are going to come out and they're going to lead us in a last song of faith. And we're going to have members of our prayer team and leadership up front. And if you have any doubts on your heart, you can use this song as your time to say, God, I am so, so trusting in you. And I do have doubts and I don't understand everything. And you may not understand a lot before you leave this earth, this side of heaven. But to trust is to obey. To trust is to say, Jesus is my rock of faith. If you want to come forward and let one of our leaders during this song, you just make your way to the front and they'll be glad to pray with you. Or to answer your questions. Or to get you help. We're here for you. Let's stand, please.